Control is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Bad medicine.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati with Mike Boddicker in studio. You know, Chris Sale.
I got texts from people from Boston.
I mean to tell you, I don't know if it's like, is he doing something wrong? Does somebody have a voodoo doll?
I just texted all of them back saying, hey, didn't he have his training wheels on? That's
right.
You know, that's.
So he, if you don't know what we're talking about, so this is the guy that so far this year he's had a fractured rib cage. He had got a broken pinky on a comebacker. And then you remember in one of his rehab starts, he tore up some stuff in the dugout. Right?
Yeah.
And he got mad. And so now he's finally making his way back. Chris Sale breaks his right wrist in a bike accident and had to undergo season-ending surgery.
Fell off his bike.
Since his five-year, $145 million extension took effect in 2020, how many starts has he made?
I have no idea. What not many. Say?
Since 2020. Okay.
25?
Five-year, $145 million deal took effect in 2020. Guesses. You said 25?
25, maybe?
12. 15.
11.
Oof.
His ERA?
It's up there. He has not pitched well.
Eight.
Yeah.
Missed nearly 2 years to Tommy John. He contracted COVID. He broke a rib throwing a pitch. He broke a pinky on a liner.
Boston will do that to you.
And now he's broken his wrist on this bike accident. So
Boston will.
These pitchers, man.
Soft.
That's a
very soft.
I mean, in retrospect, it looks terrible, but would you sign into that kind of deal?
Oh, yeah. To stay in Boston? No. No. I'd rather come to Kansas City.
No, I mean, no, Chris Sale, should Boston have, when they signed into that deal, did you think that's much?
No, that was way too much for.
I mean, when he's healthy. But I mean, he was great.
Mondesi.
He was great. But the thing about Sale is, I mean, he's fantastic. I mean, 2018, he had a 2.11 ERA. 2017, he had a 2.90 through 214 innings. But he's always seemed like
kind of like a running back. They only last so long.
Especially him, he always seemed like to me like that's a guy that
when
the wheels come off, he's going to break
very
down.
Very frail. Yeah.
He used to be really good, but it seems like that ship has sailed.
Wow.
But like he signed that went into effect in 2020 when he was 31. That's my only question. Yeah. Like, you know, looking back now, it looks like a terrible deal, but that's. Especially with Chris Sale, I don't know if that's a wise investment.
Boston's got plenty of money. Don't worry about it. They're fine.
Well,
I mean, you seem a little snake bit if it's like a biking accident, you know? It's not like some guys, they get hurt just, you know, running a ground ball out or something like that, but to have a bike accident and break your wrist and be done for the year.
Well, if he was riding a bike on the streets of Boston.
Yeah, that does seem like a little
stupid.
Risky behavior.
That's stupid. You can't, no. How would he drive a car in downtown Boston?
His playoff ERA since then is 8.
Mm.
So.
Mm. I rode my bike to work here
you did have training wheels.
For about a month,
right.
I did.
And you were asking for it, riding at that time of the morning.
Well,
because these people out here, especially when I'm, It's the Wild West.
It is the Wild West.
Lawlessness.
It wasn't bad driving in the morning because there was nobody out on the streets. But trying to get back home. So that what did it for me when I finally decided I'm not ever doing this again, I pulled up to one of the intersections over here, and I saw a young person who was at a stoplight looking at their phone while eating an apple. neither hand on the steering wheel.
That's all right. They can use their legs.
Zero eyes on the road. Completely distracted in every way, and I thought, that's the person that's going to hit me when I'm on a bike and kill me.
I feel it's even worse. So, like, when I'm coming in, you know, it's in the 4 o'clock hour or 5 o'clock hour, there's people just like, laws?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Street, what?
Stoplights? Yeah, are just suggestions.
Speed limit? Yeah. I mean, I'll see at least one car driving in, it just ignoring all traffic laws.
Blow through the lights.
Well, that guy's going 100. All right, then. Thanks.
I guess that's true, but boy, when you get out here, like once the day gets really going and there's cars all over the place.
How about no?
Yeah, I just realized. No. Yeah, that's a.
This is one of the most busiest intersections.
Yeah. I keep telling my dad.
It's like,
he's riding his bike. He's riding his bike all over the
Northland. It's an electric bike, right?
Well,
okay.
He's going up the hill. It's electric. It's electric.
This town is not a bike-friendly town either. I mean, like some towns.
Oh, where I live, it is. I mean, they got the great big wide lanes for bikes, and you got
people observe it and all that stuff.
They're pretty good about it. The only problem is you got 18 other people running or walking in the same lanes, and they're swerving out. It's not good.
So,
not good.
So don't
be careful if you're on a bike, Chris Hale.
Well,
too late.
A little too late to tell him that now.
Too late.
Yeah.
So thank you. We had a discussion yesterday with Booma about how the Royals should utilize all these young players, their versatility, and get everyone the necessary playing time. And I just went through the players that I thought that should be in the lineup every day, including Massey and Eaton and Pasquantino and Prado, and then the obvious Melendez and Witt. And I want to take a good look at
it's fun to watch, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't it fun to watch?
Okay, so then here's the question that arose. What should the Royals do with Hunter Dozier? What is Hunter Dozier?
Well, they should have traded him.
Well,
they should have traded Michael A. Taylor.
Well, they didn't.
I know they didn't. That was part of the issue. Like I said, fire sale. You had people who would have taken these people. And
I think it seemed like it would have been easier to trade Michael A. Taylor because he is a plus defender in center field, and he's only signed up for a very reasonable amount of money, just for one more year,
right?
And he's actually hitting a little bit
this year. but like with Dozier,
except for that last at bat in the last game yesterday. That
but like with Dozier, there's more money you owe him, and he plays multiple positions, but not very well.
No,
he's a defensive liability.
Yeah, he's not great at any place he plays.
So then, what is it?
And first, he's okay. Outfield, keep him out of the outfield. Oh my gosh,
because of what they're paying him? Do you think they will continue to give him at-bats? Should he be
Did they give
a regular?
Santana at-bats?
Yes.
There you go. You just answered your own question.
But now this is it's the second half. They're not – there's no mirage of a playoff spot, and they brought up all these guys, and they waved the white flag. They traded Benintendi. They traded Merrifield. They traded Carlos Santana. You know, and I get it's a doubleheader, but I thought about you. Hey, Massey played the first game. Let's sit him the second game.
No, they're kids. They could play eight games in a row.
That's what I mean. Like, you cannot waste any moment trying to evaluate these players. And this was said yesterday. Third base is a question mark for next year.
They traded Massey at third. Massey can play any infield position. I'm sorry, he's really good.
Okay, and he won the minor league.
Gold glove,
and that's they give out one per position for all levels. Prado was the first base gold glove, and Massey was the second base gold glove. So then you tell me, how would you like to fit all these guys in moving forward? Who do you want at third base? You can put here's all the discussion points, right?
To be determined.
Okay, Bobby Witt Jr. has
Arenado.
Had some issues at shortstop.
How about if we get Arenado?
Stop. Do you love him enough at shortstop just to leave him there and go through the growing pains, or do you move him over to third and say, okay, Nicky Lopez doesn't have the bat that you want, but he is a terrific shortstop, and then that opens up second base for Michael Massey. Do you say Massey's second base, Bobby Witt's a shortstop, and let's figure out, is it Nate Eaton at third base or somebody else? Is Nicky Lopez just a utility player? Like, how do you see this fitting in? Because
that,
you're right.
That, and that's what they're doing right now.
Right. Well, how do you – what do you like?
What
would
I
you
like
to see? Yes.
Gosh, I hate moving Bobby Witt Jr. off a
well,
short.
Well, don't do it. Then
he's
don't.
He's really good. But
leave him at short.
He could play some – he'd play a great third base. Oof.
Is he better
suited
at third base?
Well, you know, when Mondesi comes back.
I did that yesterday, and Nate almost left. What about Nate Eaton? He's played third base. Don't you? Shouldn't they? Wouldn't
if
you?
If he can play a good third base,
he can play center field too. And I think you should take every opportunity to evaluate him at center and at third base.
I haven't watched him very much. He looks like an outfielder to me.
Oh, he does. The way he's built, you know.
But I mean, there's only you
when
have these.
When he moves out there, his instincts are really good.
Yeah,
I like him in center field a lot.
It's just one game, but like, what's the point of playing Dozier at third base? You know, he's not very good there. Find out about Massey or Eaton at third base. And if you're going to play Dozier, put him out in the outfield.
If Eaton can play the infield, I'd put him at third base and give him a whirl there and see how he does over there. I mean, why not? The whole thing, though, Stephen, is we've been wanting these kids up here.
Right. Play them. And they are, for the most part.
And they're doing good.
Yeah.
They're all doing good. Which is really fun, and they're fun to watch. Everybody I talk to, this is fun again. This is fun to watch.
Well, they're having fun too.
And I know sometimes, you know they're rookies. They're going to make some mistakes, but it's still fun to watch. They're busting their tail, and they're doing very well. And now the pitchers are starting to pitch a little bit, and it's going, whoa, they can win some ball games.
So tell me if I'm reading into this too much. In the minors in 2021 – Nate Eaton had 41 games at third base. This year, he played 55 in the outfield, 6 at DH, 2 at short, and 25 at third base. So he's played a lot of third base.
He's played a lot of third base then, yeah.
But so far with the Royals, he's played 9 games all in the outfield. Does that say to you that they've already made their decision, they've evaluated him in the minors, and they don't think he can play third base?
That's the problem with not being out there. Is he taking any ground balls in the infield? We don't know. We have no idea.
But that's a lot of games at third base in the minors, and then nothing. And that's a question mark going into next year.
Well, they might have just been sticking him out there, trying to get him to that position, and maybe he cannot cut it.
Can he be worse than Dozier at third base? Like, what do you think Dozier is at third base in your opinion, defensively?
He's slightly below average.
Nate?
Yeah. I don't know how far below average he is, but he's below average. But I do think
and Massey, if he's so good at second base, he can play third base, right?
Or is he so good at second base you want to leave him at second base? I would leave him at second base.
Then who would you put at third base?
Well, if you want to, you move Bobby Witt over and you put Nicky at short. Nicky's proved that he can play it.
Yeah. I think if you're trying to win games right now, that's what you do.
Yeah, well, I'm not. If you're trying to win games.
I'm evaluating.
We're talking about,
if you're evaluating, I throw Eaton at third base and see how he does.
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to figure out who my opening day lineup is for 2023. Is Nicky an everyday player, or is he a super utility guy that can play all the infield spots?
See, I like Nicky as a utility player. I know you like him at shortstop, but I think Nicky would be a great utility guy. He can go out there and play any position, give the guy a day off, and if you have a big string of games, and you can just rotate. Hey, Massey gets a day off. Bobby Witt Jr. gets a day off. You just go around, and you can do that.
Because Pasquantino's your DH. Prado's the first baseman.
Yeah.
He won the minor league gold glove. Again, one gold glove given out to each position for all levels. So there.
Oh, he's good over at first. He's got to hit a little bit more, though. He's got to hit a little bit more. At first base, you have to hit a little bit more.
But they can also play Prado in left field, and they have been doing that. Like, he played left field last night.
Yeah.
They're experimenting there to see what he could do. That's why I don't understand why not more experimentation about who's going to play third base.
Oh, I agree with you. I'd like to see him find out what they can do, where they're best at, and then leave them there. Make them better, 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 better as they go along here in the next year or two.
Yeah, Melendez is getting plenty of looks out in the outfield.
Yes.
Do you like him in right field?
He's getting better. He was not very good when they threw him out there initially, but he's getting a little bit better. I like him there better than the plate. I don't really care for him behind the dish. But
you seen any improvement behind the plate?
Just a little bit. Not enough. Not
if
enough.
That was your catcher, what would you tell him to help him? Like, what helpful tips would
you
give
him? Quit picking the ball. Right. Block the ball. And keep your glove up so a pitcher can see it longer. You can't drop it before they start to the plate.
Did you used to yell at your catchers?
Pardon?
Did you used to yell at your catchers?
If I had to, yes.
Who do you have to yell at the most?
I started to with Dempsey, but he was out there. I asked McGregor, I said, what do I do? And he goes, just throw it where you want to. Just let him do whatever. You know, you can throw it right where you know where you're going to throw it. Just do it. Okay. So the only catcher I ever yelled at was John Stafaro. He was a backup catcher.
What did he do wrong?
He couldn't call a game to save his life. My neck hurt after about three innings of shaking my head no, because he didn't know what I wanted to throw. And that's the most aggravating thing as a pitcher.
You have it out with him? You give him the old
we got to get locked in and get on sync. And I mean, I got a picture of Weaver yelling at him on the mound. He come out there, what the hell are you doing? He's screaming at Stafaro. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there going, he was a nice little catcher. He just didn't know how to call a game.
What's your solution over there, Mr. Arms Folded?
Well, I like I said, when I look at Nate Eaton, he looks like an outfielder to me. And I know
he does a nice job out there. He gets a good jump.
Okay, do you think he can play center field?
Oh, and there's no doubt he can play center field. Yeah. That's why I said Arenado. If we can get Arenado from the Cardinals over here, play third base.
Will you stop? Eaton has played 4 games in center field so far in the majors this year, and he had 7 games in center field in the minors. Because I'm trying to – those are the two things. Those are the two question marks right now. Drew Waters
– does have a strong arm, so he could play right field.
Okay, so
– very strong arm.
Drew Waters, look up his numbers. I'll look up his numbers. He's been very good so far since the Royals acquired him. He's a center fielder, so
Is he still swinging at everything that's thrown to the plate, swinging at the thrown ball?
Man, you're a handful today. You know that?
I only got a half hour. I got to get everything in, okay?
Are you going to be at this thing on Thursday or not?
Well, am I invited?
Yes, you're invited.
Oh, okay.
You said you were going to be here, and then Bloomin said he saw you, and you said, I'm not invited. You are invited.
Oh, okay, just checking.
Your wife's invited, too.
Yeah, okay.
She's invited for sure. You're maybe.
we can pull this invite anytime we want.
You know, she likes all my Instagram posts.
She does.
She cares.
She is constantly. See what Stephen put on there? Yeah. She thinks you're the greatest thing since sliced
bread.
She's
pretty damn good, too.
Yeah.
There's certain people, when they like my Instagram, I know that was a good post then.
Yeah.
Like, some people like everything, but she'll like,
oh,
good.
Oh, yeah.
That
she's always showing me. Right. You know,
Are you?
Oh, yeah. I see everything that you put out there, yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. The Olivia Newton-John thing.
She was touched.
I'll be there. I'll be there. Right. I'll be there. Hey, like I said, I've been here since the equipment was put in. Yeah, I have to.
This really is an A-list event now. We got Mike Boddicker.
Not really. You got some really good ones. Really, really good ones. I'm just kind of in the background.
So,
even though I've been here longer than all these other clowns. I just want you to know
right?
that.
That's what I said. You are a senior analyst.
Yeah.
When it comes to what you were saying about Nicky Lopez, I am such a fan of his, but he's not hitting enough right now to
he's
justify
He's not hitting enough. Yeah, that's the thing.
If he hits like he did last year, I think you can justify playing him in the middle infield because he's such a good defender.
If he could hit 265, 270.
Get on base
at
a 350 clip.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't hit for any power at all, so he's got to get on base.
He's got to get on base.
And he's just not quite doing that this year.
He's not hitting the ball the other way like he did last year. That's the problem.
Yeah, what do you think that's...
I don't know why he's... Don't know what it is, but...
Okay, so but he did win... Didn't he win Royals Player of the Month recently?
Nicky?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Well, hell, I won Royals Player of the Month once, so
well,
what?
That's good. No, well, I'm just... Yeah. So
playing better?
So in the last... I'm looking... Over the last 21 days... He's hitting 294 with a 368 on base.
There you go. That's that. If he hits like that,
yeah, if he can do that,
then you play him every day at short. You move Bobby Witt Jr. to third, and you leave Massey at second base. To me, that's the easiest answer to everything. Now you have an elite defensive infield.
Yes,
by
you
the
do.
Way. Elite.
Elite.
Like one of the best defensive infields in all of baseball.
Yeah. Let's see how long it takes Marco to confirm this news.
What about me being invited?
I'm having to look up everything, okay. Marco. Come on. Was he Royals Player of the Month?
Yes, him and Brady Singer.
That's pitch for the month. There you go. See?
Yep. I'm going to bring my trophy and it shows you that I was the pitcher of the month.
Yeah. I want you to.
It's really cool, really.
Pretty that would be great.
You get a trophy for a pitcher of the month?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. And now here, I'm not going to go crazy with this, but I'm just telling you. This is what Drew Waters has done since he was traded to the Royals.
I asked you, is he still swinging at the throwing ball?
Maybe.
No, he's got to have plate discipline before he can be here.
22 games.
Okay.
86 at bat, small sample size. You want to know a slash line with Omaha? He's hitting .326 with a .426 on base and a .593 slug.
That means he's taking some walks if his on base is 100 points higher than his batting
average. He's got 14 walks in 22 games.
There you go.
27 strikeouts.
Everybody strikes out. I'm not even concerned about that.
Yeah, by today's
he's
standards,
some
that's like a great ratio.
It really is.
And he's got 4 doubles, 2 triples, 5 homers.
Let's go.
I'm just being honest. That's great.
Yeah. Well, we made the trade. Let's get him here. Get him going.
Well, so for a guy.
Center field, then move Eaton over to right. Eaton's got a cannon for an arm, by the way.
Drew Saylor, Alex Zumwalt, and you said that's not the problem with the Royals. They're developing offensive talent. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And it's even more exciting to me. That would be a huge indicator that they got this thing figured out. If they can take a guy, a blue-chip talent like Drew Waters, who was a double-A MVP in 2019 and was a top 50 prospect, who had hit a wall with the Braves, and he was heading downhill, and all of a sudden the Braves, he was expendable, where in 2019 he was one of their best prospects, and they ship him to the Royals, and that quickly they figure it out, and they could turn him around. And if they take what he was with the Braves the last 2 years and turn into a viable prospect that could be the center fielder of the future, what does that say about Saylor and Zumwalt, what they're doing with the hitters?
Obviously, they're doing some good things.
Right. I mean,
we even went through that period where, you know, Prado and all these guys, they hit their minor league wall. Think about it. They're all of a sudden it was like, God, they can't hit anymore. Well, yeah, they can. It's just they're still trying to figure stuff out, you know. What I'm happy is seeing Pasquantino go deep twice yesterday.
Hey.
You know, because he's had that struggle, a little bit of a struggle
then
there.
He's like, what do you want from me? And he went deep twice.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to forget about it.
They showed him in the dugout.
Bada-bing.
He was doing the swing path. He had that big dip in his shoulder, and he was kind of swinging straight up. Now it's getting
launch
more.
Launch angle.
No, that's a bad launch angle what he was doing. But, yeah, he's getting more short to the ball. And even last night, he let the ball travel, hit the ball down the left field line for the double. Well, it's a single for him because he can't run, but should have been a double. But little things like that you have to do, you know, to help a team win. And he did. I mean, he didn't try to pull that ball. He went out and slapped it the other way.
Let me throw another name into the hat here.
Uh-oh.
All right, so you got
a new guy.
I feel like
you
I'm
got
pretty
a new
good
guy?
About being on. You know, say, hey, now we start watching this guy. Nick Lofton got promoted to AAA yesterday, okay, and he is so far this year he's played 19 games at second, 4 at third, 6 at short, 56 in the outfield, including 53 in center. Right, and this year at AA. 267, but a .352 on base, .419 slug. He's got 12 homers, 24 stolen bases. His strikeout and walk, 45 walks and 57 strikeouts in 90 games. So he doesn't strike out compared to, you know, and he walks a lot, right? He was originally a shortstop, but now he's played a lot at center field. He was drafted in 2020. There's another guy. And so that's my point. We're talking about all these offensive like we, there's not enough at bats for him. And now Nate Eaton, who was talking about Nate Eaton at the beginning of the year?
Yeah.
Nobody. And that
forces the
issue.
Well, the good part about it is if we get all these young offensive players, you can trade somewhere down the road and get some pieces that you might need.
By the way, Lofton was the number 32 overall pick in the 2020 draft from Baylor. So that's another guy that's in the mix. Okay? And so
while you're getting really excited here, I don't have much time here.
I don't know.
We need the pitchers.
Who you dangling?
I don't know.
Who would you trade? You just said it.
Yeah.
They've got a bunch of offensive talent. Who would you be dangling this offseason? Because they could make a deal. And that's how they got the last time they needed an anchor for the rotation. Mm-hmm. When they were on the cusp of competing, that's when Will Myers got sent packing and James Shields came in.
I don't think they're on the cusp yet.
Well, they could be.
Everybody could be.
You know, to help them get to the cusp.
Oh.
Who are you trading? That's all I want to know. Who would you be willing to deal?
Michael A. Taylor and...
Yeah, that's not going to get you anything that you need. I'm telling you, all these young guys that there's not enough spots for. Who are you and I don't say that I'll trade anybody. Give me some.
No, you can't trade Bobby Witt Jr.
You better not.
No, you can't.
It's got. I mean, who would you be willing to listen on?
Do they have any more catchers down there?
Rivera,
Melendez would be one that I would think about. He's good enough to where people would give some.
And you could get a lot for him, right? Because you have to have that balance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, who do you want to trade? Well, with Michael A. Taylor and Dozier for a starting pitcher.
Throwing O'Hearn.
He's got to be.
No, he stands there and talks
to
never
get
no.
traded. Or, who's
got
dangling?
Pictures.
I think Melendez is a great shout because I think you actually. You
want to trade him?
You get some value there.
If you have another catcher, I would.
I would only trade him if I'm getting something that the team really
needs. He's going to hit.
Yeah, I'm not looking to dump him.
No. If you're going to get a high-end guy, you're going to have to give something up.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I know. They had to give up Will Myers.
Yeah.
And
we're talking about a Will Myers
made,
type
made
of
people
trade.
Furious.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about guys that have the most upside that other teams might be the most interested in.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right. You ain't giving nobody away. But, if you can balance out the talent and get a good return and, you know, whatever that is as far as – a pitcher that's already the major leagues, or you know, I would prefer a finished product, please.
Yeah, I would too.
I would prefer if you're going to make a trade like that to get a finished product and something else. I mean, the
Royals number 15 prospect is Carter Jensen. This is young, 19-year-old, and then Luca Tresh. I like him a lot. 22.
I like the name.
Yeah, you put Luca and Vinny together.
Oh.
I'm making you an offer you can't refuse. Here's Melendez. Yeah.
Well, JJ Piccolo making.
So yes, you do have some young catching that by the time Salvi's done, it should be ready. So
that's what I'm looking at.
You wheeling, dealing, son of a gun. Yeah. Look at you.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
So the answer is Melendez for you.
That to me it would be yes.
Is he crazy or crazy like a fox?
Crazy like a fox.
Is that right?
You know, it's the old Petro line about making a trade that hurts.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get some real value, you're not going to
be
able
like
to,
these guys, but what's the bottom line? You're trying to get to the World Series, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're trying to build a team that's going to get you to the World Series. And sometimes you got to let go of somebody that you really like in order to get to that next stage.
I know a team that had to give up Mike Boddicker to get Curt Schilling.
Oh, and Brady Anderson,
too. Brady Anderson.
Yeah.
That trade hurt.
Yeah, I should have fell off a bike.
That trade had some juice to it.
Damn, this guy.
I know
he's lashing out at all kinds of
people. Yeah, I know. Well, he's been fighting. Yeah. That's why.
I do jujitsu now.
Yeah, see? He'll roll with you.
Are we going to talk football now?
I look forward to seeing you and Lisa on Thursday. You going to be there?
Yes, I am going to be there.
Just because I don't.
Yeah, I'll bring my wheelchair and we'll get in there.
It's hard to get you out in public sometimes. Come on. It's going to be a celebration. That's Mike Boddicker.
Walker friendly.
Yeah.
Right now. It's at 7:00. 1 minute right now.
Oh, boy.
Love Coffee and Lee Summit.
I love coffee.
Find Michael.
I love coffee.
Ticket drop. Ticket drop for the 100-year celebration and Lee Summit right now at Love Coffee.
Love Coffee.
Go in there and show. Where are you, Michael? On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I.
Yeah, I want to see all the rookies. I want to see, you know, guys like Cook. I want to see him cover. You know, Anderson unfortunately got hurt today, but other safeties I want to see. You know, I also want to see Watson. You know, I want to see Justin Watson, the wide receiver. I want to see Jalen Watson. You know, the corners, Nazi Johnson. I mean, all those guys. Every one of those defensive guys. We got to sort that thing out. We got to see who's going to be a player for us and who can help us on teams. And you know, this Bears game is going to be real important for all those guys. You know, I can't mention them all right now, but every one of them, it's a real important game.
That's Dave Tobe talking about what he's looking for on Saturday at noon when the Chiefs play in Chicago against the Bears. Let's talk to our very good friend, Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. Hello, Matt. How are you?
I am doing pretty well, Stephen. I am getting ready for a magnificent day off, so I could not be any better.
Does training camp suck without me there?
It is not the same, absolutely. Right. No, it's the energy is just not there. We need the right energy giver like you on the field.
The energy of me hobbling around with my back issues as everyone laughed and made fun of me. I think that was the energy you're talking about, right?
Well, I definitely didn't sense that. I sensed a lot of concern. I sensed a lot of caring.
Right.
I think worrying about you brought us all together.
When Don Proctor kept trying to get people to get the injury cart to take me to the medical tent, which was, they're not, you know, at least he cares, right?
Well, that's Proctor being Proctor.
So. No, of course. Well, you heard Dave Tobe there talking about who he's looking, what he's looking for on Saturday. And look. There's always excitement around the first preseason game. I love it because it's noon on Saturday. And so then I can get down to my business on Saturday night. But this is important about special teams because they're trying to replace so many four-phase guys. And they need to figure out who the returners are. Special teams is going to go a long way towards determining many roster spots. And so you tell me what you're looking for on Saturday when it comes down to position battles and who's going to end up on this 53-man roster.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, special teams are going to be huge in this game, especially the returners, because it's not just that you've got some rookies that you want to look at for those jobs, but inexperienced rookies. I mean, it's not like any of these guys came, you know, out of the draft as huge college returners. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco hasn't returned anything since his freshman year at Rutgers. And even then, I mean, I think he only has maybe like 17 returns. Not a huge amount. Sky Moore didn't return many punts, at Western Michigan. I think he returned like 9 kicks maybe in his career. So, it's not a ton of experience. And, you know, and one thing that we've seen, I mean, and Sky has struggled with has been, you know, sometimes balls over his head. That's something to watch for. You want to see if he can handle that. Because I get the sense that the Chiefs don't want to try Trent McDuffie.
I don't want them to either. No.
And because he may end up playing too much on defense. But, you know, as Dave Tobe says, I agree. I mean, from what we've seen at the training camp, I mean, he's the best catcher back there as a punt receiver. And that's been an issue for this team as far as being able to hold on to the football. So I definitely want to see that. But you're right. I mean, across the board, you're replacing a lot of veterans on those special teams. I want them to see if they have any breakdowns, any communication issues, any mental errors. Because Dave Tobe can fix those, but you really want to see where this team is at right now and how some of these veterans that they've brought in are fitting in that unit.
Okay, so this is what I want. And, Nate, you can tell me if I'm wrong. Matt, you feel free to disagree. When Dave Tobe last week when I was up there talked about punt returner, he said Mecole Hardman, but they're probably going to have to scale him back because of his increased role in the offense. And then he said Trent McDuffie, and I just say no to that because he's too important to the defense. And then Sky Moore, but he's inexperienced, okay? But then when he talked about Justin Watson, he said, oh, Watson, he'll catch it. Oh, he can catch it. He just won't do much with it, but he can catch it. Okay, that's really all I want. And nothing against Justin Watson, but he's not as important to the rest of the team like those other candidates are. Now, I understand that Justin Watson may have a different role on special teams other than returner, but I'm okay if the guy is just a guy that, oh, he's going to catch it, but not do much with it, because I just want him to catch it and then trot off the field so number 15 can come take over. And I'm okay with a guy who's going to catch it and not do much with it. And he said Justin Watson, so what about that idea?
I mean, I think it's a consideration. It's something that they definitely haven't given much, you know, even lip service to in training camp because we just haven't seen it very much. But it is counter to Dave Tobe as a note, you know, kind of notion. I mean, he wants home run hitters back there. I mean, he loves having guys that he's had it, you know, he's tried to have it his entire career. You know, he's had the big guys that can break off one at any moment, and that's probably going to end up on a clip somewhere. But, I mean, most of the guys outside of Sky Moore and McDuffie and, you know, and they had Hardman kind of, you know, testing out a little bit there, here, there. But otherwise, the only other candidate that they've really had back there that I think has a remote chance of making the team is Corey Coleman. And I think Coleman has been consistently their best performer at punt returner. He had one really, really bad day, and it seems to have really knocked him down the depth chart. And that's what a couple of bobbles can do for you and do to you. And that would be his best chance to make this team as a returner. But it would also bolster his bid to be that sixth receiver. So, I mean, it's going to depend on the luxury of being able to keep a guy like a Coleman who might be one of their better returners is, once again, how many tight ends are you going to keep? How many running backs? How many offensive linemen? You get down to those last few spots, and, yeah, it is special teams, but you got to be super at returners to just be the guy that they keep to return kicks.
But that was the day that Dave Tobe spoke to the media last week when Coleman had trouble catching some punts, and then he just but we had some trouble catching punts out there, and then he mentioned the candidates and didn't mention Coleman. So we're like, oh, well, there you go. But, you know, it's bad timing for him. Hey, that's fine. If they decide we're going to keep Coleman as a sixth receiver because of special teams, and he can be the return guy, sign me up for it. But then Fountain loses a spot because he's the four-phase guy. And then Josh Gordon, Josh Gordon spoke to the media, and we haven't seen a whole bunch from him. It doesn't seem like he's going to make the team because how much could he help with special teams? What do you think about Josh Gordon?
Yeah, that's the tough thing for Gordon's case is that, you know, can you see him as a special teams player? And I think he'd be willing to do it. It's just, once again, I mean, at his age, and, you know, it's probably been a long time. I haven't looked at his snap counts as far as how many he's actually had on special teams over the years. But, again, I mean, it probably hasn't been a lot of consistency there. So, yeah, that's a tough role to envision him in. And it always seems like, yeah, if you're going to keep Josh Gordon as a receiver, it means you're probably going to have to keep a sixth receiver, absolutely, that is a strong special teams player. And, hey, yeah, if he made the squad with Watson, I guess you get that. But Gordon's been an enigma. I mean, there's been a handful of players who have been in that kind of category, veterans who just don't seem to get a lot of looks in this camp so far. And, you know, I asked Andy Reid about that, and he kind of acknowledged a little bit that, yeah, you know, that they've been given a lot of looks to some of the younger guys, and maybe that's meant that some other players have been neglected. And Gordon's probably been in that category. I'm really intrigued to see what happens at camp next week in those final four practices, because usually after the first preseason game, there's some significant juggling with the depth chart as far as, you know, now who is really going to play this year, and who is somebody they've just been testing out, and maybe they just want to get some looks for. It could be worth talking completely different a week from now based on what we see at training camp after this game.
I mean, that sounds to me like they feel like they already know what they have in Josh Gordon, so they want to find out what they have in these younger guys. And so if Gordon's going to make the team, it's going to be based more on whether or not these young guys earn spots, right? Like, it's about what they do.
Oh, no. We've lost Matt Derrick.
Hello?
Did he fall down? Are you okay?
My phone completely cut up.
Oh, I thought we thought he fell down. It sounded like you were tackled on special teams there for a minute. All right, then.
And so, I unfortunately didn't hear almost anything that Nate said.
No, you didn't miss much.
Yeah, welcome to my world.
Makes me very sad.
He basically said, you know, do they already know what they have with Josh Gordon, and so they're using these opportunities to practice to evaluate other wide receivers?
Yeah, I think that's true with a couple of guys. I mean, we could probably say the same thing about Ronald Jones, probably Lonnie Johnson. Those are a few veterans that we really haven't seen a lot of. And that's why I am intrigued to see what happens. I mean, I do think you know a little bit about Josh Gordon, but Stephen, I think some of us, I guess you weren't here this week, but, you know, the other day when Josh Gordon was talking, that did sound like a man who was, maybe a little down and maybe needed a hug, because he certainly wasn't talking like a guy who felt like he had a confident shot at making his roster.
Yeah, he goes, I love being here. I just hope I can make the team. So, hey, there was a signing I want to ask you about. There's a report out there. Adam Schefter reported that the Chiefs were signing defensive tackle Danny Shelton to a one-year deal, according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. And so here's a guy that's played 100 career regular season games, 72 starts. He was a number 12 overall pick by the Browns back in 2015. Played 3 years there. He's bounced around a little bit, 2 years in New England, a year in Detroit, and last year with the Giants. 6'2", 345-pound defensive tackle. I know that Taylor Stallworth is banged up with a knee problem, but you got Chris Jones, you got Derek Nnadi, you got Tershawn Wharton. I think Colin Saunders looked pretty good. What about this? What do you make of this signing of Danny Shelton?
Yeah, and you couple this with also, this week they added Matt Dickerson, who's also another interior player who's got a little bit of experience in the league, not as much as certainly as Shelton does. But to me, the first signal is that the Chiefs haven't been entirely happy with their depth as far as numbers go at the tackle position. If you were stacked up the roster, you would have said probably going to have to keep six ends and maybe four tackles. And that's why we saw a lot of rotation with some defensive ends and guys like Mike Dana kicking inside, to see how they could play. And this sends a message to me that, no, that's probably not an option. I mean, you want to keep your outside guys outside, and they just need more depth on the inside. It also, I think, tells me that, the Chiefs probably agree with some of the outside assessments I've heard, which is that they don't have a true nose tackle, a true one tech, somebody that can really eat up the middle of the line up over the center, push some people around, be a run stuffer. And Shelton is that. We'll see if he's still got something in the tank. He's getting up there. But he's been a productive player over the years. He's got a Super Bowl ring. And he seems to fit with what the Chiefs need. And once again, they're not asking him to come in and be a starter. I mean, I think that the Chiefs feel fine about that. It's just depth and some situations, and Shelton seems to fit that pretty well.
All right, before we let you go, give me a couple of players you're most excited to watch on Saturday against the Bears.
We're all excited about Isaiah Little Poppy Pacheco.
That's right, Little Poppy.
We definitely need to see that. I want to see Justin Watson. I mean, I really want to see if everything that we've seen going back to OTAs is working. Definitely the second offensive line. There's some really good players in there. Michael Caliendo, somebody I've been really impressed with. I want to see if he can kind of handle some things. The linebackers, Leo and the other rookies, I mean, Karloftis, McDuffie, going to be watching them, because I think those could all be really good players and productive this year. And I definitely want to see Leo hit somebody for real, because he lights people up. And I definitely want to see it. I want to see what he does. I'm a little nervous in what happens in his first pass coverage, but I want to see him running downhill and what happens.
Yeah, Matt Derrick wakes up and chooses violence. He wants to see Leo Chenault light someone up in Chicago. I think you're going to get your wish.
It's not me, Steven. I'm
right.
Good.
Well, true. Good point. Hey, Matt, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Pleasure, guys. Take care, everybody.
Matt Derrick from ChiefsDigest.com. That's ChiefsDigest.com. Now let's check in with our ticket drop for the WHB 100-year anniversary celebration. We have Michael out at Love Coffee in Lee Summit. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm out here at Love Coffee, and it's been pretty busy so far, so I'm really excited. We have a lot of tickets going out the door.
Do you have any more tickets left?
We do. I've probably got maybe 20 left.
Okay, so 20 left, and it's out in Lee Summit. Is there any landmarks out there, anything that you look out there? What's it by so people can find it?
Sure. So we're near the corner of Highway 150 and Ward Road. The address is 813 Southwest Lehman's Road.
Okay.
And it's a drive-through coffee shop, so stop by. I'm right in front. They can run through the drive-thru and grab a coffee if they'd like. I'm ready to go.
That's right. And so you've got you still got some tickets left. You're going to be there until 8:15 or until the tickets are gone. Something tells me the tickets will be gone before then. And so they drive up, go get some coffee, support the business, and then get your tickets from Michael. Michael, thank you very much for the time, and enjoy giving out those tickets for the big event.
Thank you. See ya.
There we go. You see? I was going to ask her to get me a hot tea, but yeah.
Well, she's you busy. Can still text her.
Well, I might. Let's take a break. Gary Lezak will be up next for us right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Very interesting picture that Gary Lezak just tweeted out. At G Lezak is his handle on Twitter. He said, I am on Sports Radio 810 in a few minutes with your forecast. What caption would you give this one? I don't see X Factor in this picture, Gary, so I'm not sure what caption I'd give.
I mean, X Factor wasn't there. I couldn't find X Factor.
I'm not even sure you looked for
him. What do you think of that picture?
You look fired up. There appears to be a Sasquatch behind you.
There is.
With red glasses on.
Yeah. There's lots of crazy, wild Chiefs fans behind me, and we're getting ready for the season. It's starting to get real, you know? This is exciting. I mean, I've only done a little bit of analysis. You guys have been doing a great job of preparing us gradually as we approach the season. On KSHB 41, preseason game one is Saturday night.
Marco wants to know if you're retiring from 41 because you are going to be the next X Factor.
There you go, baby. Well, it's going to feel like I'm retiring because I'm going to Hawaii Friday, leaving to be with my high school buddies. I'm going to call it my Hawaii 6-0 trip. Hawaii 6-0. Because all my friends are turning 60. And so a friend of mine decided we're going to go. We're going. So no spouses, just four guys in Hawaii. It's going to be crazy.
Yes, sir.
Look out.
I know. Maybe a martini or two. Maybe. So that's exciting. Yeah. Of course, I'm probably the only one that goes to Hawaii, and I'm hoping for a hurricane. I'm like, come on. Can a hurricane
What the hell is wrong with you?
I know. I'm hoping for one. It would be exciting. I wouldn't want a devastating one. You know, the island I'm going to in Kauai, they had Hurricane Iniki in 1991, and it destroyed the place I'm going to actually stay at, the condo that's right on the water with the waves crashing below.
Nate likes to eat poi. Do you ever eat poi?
Ugh.
No, what's poi?
Yeah.
It's not any good.
It's called poi?
Yeah, sure it is.
You never heard of poi?
No. I've heard of koi.
No, poi.
Poi.
How do you spell it?
It's like P-O-I, I think. Is that right? P-O-I? It's like a paste. It's a
Hawaiian food prepared from the cooked corms of taro that are mashed with water to the consistency of a paste or thick liquid.
Eat it with your fingers.
And often allowed to ferment.
It says here, the taste of poi is a combo of sweet with a bit of sour tang.
Mmm. Poi.
I just remember that the only time I've ever been to Hawaii, my wife and I went for our honeymoon, and the only time that we went to a luau, and the guy that was hosting the luau told everybody, try the poi, it's not that bad.
Right.
And I thought, well, they really sold that, you know. And then I tried it, and it wasn't that bad.
See?
That's
great.
You know, so all the rest of the food was delicious, so I decided to eat all the rest of the food because the poi just wasn't that bad.
I'm not going to have poi. I'm going to look at the poi.
Well, you just got to try it, you know, so you can say you've had it. Just
Why would
a little
taste.
Just so you can say you've had it. Maybe you'll love it.
Maybe I will. It's a staple food of the Polynesian diet.
That's my wife's rule at dinner when all the kids, whenever the kids say they don't like what we're cooking, which is pretty much every night.
Yeah.
Says, well, you have to at least try it before you can say that.
It looks like it's a breakfast item. Maybe I should just have it for breakfast.
It's a it's a paste. It's weird. It's just kind of.
Yeah. Eat some paste.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Eat paste. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
I ate a whole barrel of paste when I was a kid.
That do
fine. Remember the little barrel that and the lid had the stick in it?
No, you
did. Yeah, stick together after that.
One of the girls dared me, like, "You won't eat that whole barrel." I said, "Yes, I will." It tastes. It didn't taste
bad. Now we know how you become so great. You had a bowl of paste when you were younger.
Really stuck to my ribs.
Oh my goodness! So tomorrow night, we have tickets we're giving away.
Yeah, at Love Coffee in Lee Summit with Michael. I think. Do you think? I don't know. I mean, she had like 10 pairs left. Now two. What?
Yeah. 10 pairs left.
No, she had 20 tickets. Yeah, okay, 10 pairs. Yeah,
Jesus. 20 tickets. I want you to know what happened just now, because I think Nate. I don't think you were paying attention here, because you would have said something. I said she has 10 pairs of tickets.
I was
left,
giving you
right?
your time.
And he said, "No, she has 20 tickets."
That's when you get dad. That's a dad joke.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh my goodness!
She has 12 tickets left. No, she's got a dozen.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. All right, Gary.
All right. Thank you. Let's get to the weather. All right. I'm going to give the weather. Is everyone ready? Are you driving to work? Are you waiting for the weather forecast?
Stick to sports.
It's going to be a gorgeous day. It's going to be a fantastic day. The forecast for weather and the Chiefs season in the next 1 minute. It's going to be sunny, 88 degrees today. The humidity is low, and it's a fantastic summer day. The average high is 89, so right around average. Tomorrow and Friday, 89 degrees. All right? It's going to be really nice. Now, this weekend, a huge warm-up will get here. It could be near 100 Saturday and Sunday. The weekends have been timed to have the hottest weather. So if you love summer and the pool, you know, fall is coming. So get out there and enjoy this weekend. It's going to be fantastic. For the Chiefs, I think 14-3.
Wow.
I like what I'm seeing. I think the defense, I mean, you know, no excuses. This could be really top 10 defense with that offense. And, you know, I heard yesterday that some reports of Chiefs might have be rated the number one offensive line. The number one offensive line with Patrick Mahomes? And are you kidding? Exactly. So things are looking good. A lot more to go through in the next month. A lot happens in the next month. So I like to reserve that official forecast for a little while later, but this is getting exciting. It is getting real. I'm going to go look at that poi on my online menu here.
Right.
I think some of, like Ono or something like that would be good.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Thank
you,
Gary.
Have a great day, guys. I'll see you tomorrow night.
That's right. That is Gary Lezak with the forecast. After this, we'll talk to Gary Barnett right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.